Welcome to Hype Special Gilmore Girls Season 1. It's our very first special for Gilmore Girls. I'm very excited to be here. Usually when I jokingly suggest that we convert our podcast into something else, people don't listen to me, but this time they did. So I'm very excited. I'm Marima, and I have with me the Hype Girls to talk about Gilmore Girls. We have Pam and Selena, of course. Yay!
Yay! I'm a big fan.
It's the Hype Girls do Gilmore Girls. It's
Oh, I like it. I like it. That can be our title that we were trying to think of. It's
Although if you guys listening have better ideas, like we're trying to come up with something snappy to call all, like this little series. So write in and let us know.
Yeah. So if you, I guess, missed an episode or you weren't paying attention, this is the thing that we're doing now. We are doing a special for every season of Gilmore Girls. We're rewatching them all. Pam and I are Selena's watching for the very first time.
Yay!
Amazing. And we're going to do a special episode talking about each one. You can send us your feedback if you want to watch them in advance and then let us know what you thought of each season. You can get in touch with us on Twitter at HyperbleHype, or we are at HyperbleHype on Instagram. Maybe there'll be things there for Gilmore Girls. I don't know.
We should just totally convert it. Finally, we have a purpose for the Instagram.
My God, we just Gilmore Girls. Yes.
Gilstagram.
Yes, I 100% agree with this. And of course, you can email us if you want to send us longer feedback. We are hype@hyperbole.com. But please put the season in the subject line because Selena is spoiler-free-ish.
I hate these casting news that have been coming out, guys. It's the worst.
Every time I see one, I'm just like, look away, Selena, look away.
I try, I promise. I never, like, I see Gilmore Girls and I avert my eyes. I'm saying dream sequence for all of it, basically.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you might have cottoned onto this already, but Gilmore Girls isn't really like a murder mystery or anything, so you don't have to worry. I thought all these people would be dead by season 7.
I know. I've been saying this before. When is she going to be called to be a vampire slayer? I'm so confused.
Well, which one? Who do you want to be the vampire slayer?
Well, I guess Rory would be the vampire slayer in this scenario.
We don't have to be ageist.
That's true.
Do you think that Lorelai would let Rory be a vampire slayer on her own?
She'd like come with her on the hunt.
She'd want to get in on that action.
Yeah,
for sure.
That'd be great.
I mean, yeah, and after some of the events of this season, like, I feel like she might just not be down with it in general.
Can I just, like, no joke, but like, I know we're totally jumping the gun here, but like, when I was watching season 1, I was like, oh my God, this is like, this is a lot, like, this is going to sound really dumb, but it is a lot like Buffy, because, like, the relationships are so real, and the dialogue is so, like,
yeah, the dialogue
quirky,
for sure.
And I just, anyway, I'm going ahead of myself.
Well, it was at a similar time, you know, like, it aired at a similar time, so that kind of makes sense. Let's just jump right into it. I feel like we want to know what you thought of it. It sounds like it's positive, but, you know, don't let us down now.
I mean, guys, to be honest, I'm totally kidding.
Get off the show.
I couldn't even start. I don't understand how I've never seen the show before, guys. I am so confused. This is like, I don't even know. Like, everything you guys are like, oh, like Gilmore Girls. And I'm like, yeah, whatever, just another show. No. This show is so good, and it's like, it's just, you jump into season, because again, I've only seen season 1, but you jump right into these characters who you just care about so much and who interact like they've known each other their entire lives. The dialogue, as I was saying before, is amazing. The dynamics between them are so, like, real, you know, and everything that Lorelai and Rory, that's the names, say and do, and the way they interact with Lorelai's parents, and I feel like it's like a slice of real life, and I really just, I get it. Like, I think I really get it, and it's just, I've enjoyed this so much more than I thought I was going to enjoy this. And
Pam, do you just feel so vindicated? I just feel so vindicated with this, Pam, and I've been saying this forever.
That's true. Also, and now we don't have to not be friends anymore because we were going to severely rethink this trio situation we've got going
and
here.
And I got to say, I would blame you for that. It's very, very hard to be faced with criticism of your favorite show, but, like, I just, you know, it is really funny because, I mean, we are kind of, I keep, I don't know, I just, Buffy is on my mind right now. I'm so sorry, I'll stop talking about it now, but like, we are doing Buffy Unrewatchable, no, obviously, and I'll try, I promise, I can't promise more than that, but, and we watched season one, and I remember sort of thinking, yeah, season one is pretty, you know, you like it because you know what comes next, so it's good on rewatching, but it's not good necessarily for the first time. The Gilmore Girls just jumps right in and is awesome, and I don't know what's going to happen next, obviously, but this first season just ticked all the boxes and things that I like.
Yay! I'm very excited. All right, well, Pam, do you want to, before we get into kind of discussing the season in more detail, do you want to tell everyone how you kind of got into Gilmore Girls and your a little bit about your background with it for context?
Oh, gosh. So let me think here. I'm pretty sure the first season came out in 2000, and I definitely remember watching that. So I must have been about maybe like 13 or 14 years old, somewhere around there. Older than like 14 when I started watching. So I definitely think, like, looking back on it, we were having this conversation before we, you know, kind of started this madness with the specials. But looking back on it, the Gilmore Girls has definitely had an impact on, just because I watched it in my formative years. And I just
it's
remember.
So funny. Like, I can tell, like, now that I know, like.
Which is so, so funny, weird. Because you live your life and you don't even realize like all of your favorite, like the effect that all your favorite things have really had on you. So yeah, so I think I loved the fact that these were like two smart girls and they were like leading the show, which was not necessarily revolutionary, but I do remember it was the first time that I found myself like actually relating to characters that could exist in real life. And that was a big deal for me because before that I was kind of just watching, you know, like something like Dawson's Creek, which is like a little bit older. So it's like a little harder to be like, oh, like these people, like I could be friends with these people. Mm. Or something like Roswell, which is completely like paranormal. And like, obviously aliens aren't going to drop out of the sky, unfortunately. So I think that was really what resonated with me, which is that like Rory was somebody I could relate to. She was a little mousy. She liked to read. But, you know, when the time came up to it, she could stand up for herself. And then Lorelai was like the mom that everybody kind of wanted, because especially when you're that age, like you want somebody to relate to and stuff, and for the most part, like most people don't have parents like that. So
yeah. I'm sorry, like that's like one of the things that amazed me so much is that I legitimately have a parent like this. Like I was watching this going, how has, like, because I'm a single, what's it called, like an only child technically with a single mother who have been raised, like, we didn't live in Stars Hollow, we didn't have this life, I was Rory, she was Lorelai. It's bizarre to me, like, obviously not, it wasn't a TV show, but that's also, like, why it feels so realistic, is because I look at their dynamic, and I look at the way that they sort of bounce conversation back and forth, and like, go off on these riffs, and the way the mom behaves, and I'm like, oh my god, this is, like, people like that exist on TV, and I like know what that's like, and I think that's really, really weird.
Yeah, but it's cool. Wow, that is
that's amazing.
And I don't want to seem like that, because I'm sure that everyone's like, oh my god, this is like my mom, but like I don't want to be that person, but like I am that person. Right. And like I've told my mother, like, you have to, because she hasn't watched it either, and like you have to watch it, but I almost don't want her to watch it because she'll become so like aware of how, like, mm-hmm. it is, the dynamic is so similar, and I'm, like, so freaked out by it, honestly. I think it's so cool. I, like, need to... Is this... What's her name? The creator?
Amy Sherman.
Amy Sherman. Is it based on her own life, or no?
Some of it is based on, like, her relationships with people and things. Like, some of the characters are based on people she knows, but not the mother-daughter thing, I don't
just
think.
Like,
and now someone's going to get mad at me, because it will be.
Well, it's just like I'm watching it, and I'm, like, feeling like this must come from some real thing, because it's so real to me. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. What I do remember is that she said that it was the last idea she pitched to the CW, which was then the WB. Like, mm-hmm. she was like pitching all this stuff, and like they were just kind of like, yeah, okay, whatever. And then she goes, oh, and then I have this one last idea, and it's about this mother and daughter, but they're really more like best friends. And they're like, yeah, we'll go with that. And then she said she found herself having to kind of go with that when she didn't really have a firm foundation of what it was going to be.
That's amazing.
But yeah, it's like you never would have known if she had never admitted to that, because these people are so real that, you know, you can't imagine them not having lived in her brain for years and years and years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she says, like, a lot of the Stars Hollow characters were based on she was staying with her husband at this, like, at an inn at a small town. And there were just all these wacky people there who all, like, knew each other's business and just knew what was happening and all of this. And she was like, these people, you know? And then, and that's basically, like, what ended up in the script.
Michelle is the best. I think he's so funny.
Yeah. Oh, good. Okay, well, I guess I'll do my, like, Gilmore Girls background quickly. I was trying to remember this. I was thinking about it this morning. I actually don't think I watched it till the whole show aired, but I'm not sure because it was just one of those shows that I kind of saw on TV every so often. So, like, it could have still been airing for all I know at that point, but definitely not towards, like, till towards the end. So I would have watched it again, like, around 15, 16, when it finished up. And yeah, I don't know. I think, like, it's just a show that I kind of caught a few episodes here and there. I caught a few season two episodes. People know what I'm talking about. And I was like, I need to watch all of this because this is awesome. And definitely for me, it was the, you know, Selena, I think it was actually the Buffy thing in a way. Like, I was a big Buffy fan before this. And like, before I saw probably Gilmore Girls properly. And it was the similar dialogue and, you know, the characters seem kind of familiar to me in a way.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad. Yeah, and so I totally feel that. No, like, I totally feel that.
It is like that similar thing of you feel like you've stepped into a world where these characters really exist and they all have a relationship with each other that goes beyond just what the story needs it to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I 100% agree. And I think also just like the intelligence and the fast-paced script and dialogue. You know, it's funny, like, this is such a, people are going to think this is a hilarious comparison, but, like, it's actually why I really love The West Wing. Like, that's my favorite show. It's that same thing of the characters, like, existing sort of outside of the story you're seeing and just how smart it is. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and, you know, I was, like, a kid who liked to read, so I was like, hey, that girl likes reading. That's awesome. And, I definitely did not have the Lorelei. I definitely do not have a Lorelei in my life. I definitely don't have, well, I kind of have an Emily sort of, but yeah, and you know, I don't really think I'm that similar to Rory actually now that I rewatch it,
you know,
but, but yeah,
it's so funny. Like looking at her and like, it's, I don't know, when I was that age, it was so the same, except not so much with the dating, because I thought boys were scary, but I, like, oh my god, like, all the awkwardness just comes back, and I'm like, ah, I wonder if she grows up, like, the same, because it's, you know, so weird.
That's so weird. It's definitely something I was, like, let's talk about the season. But one of the first things I noticed about this, and we'll talk a bit later about some of the other things, was just how young everyone looked. Mm-hmm. And it's just, like, I don't know, I guess I have the image in my head of them kind of around their season six, season seven ages. And, like, Rory's such a baby. But yeah. Alexis Bledel was, like, 19 years old when they filmed this. Like, she was... Like, Rory's meant to be, what, 15? And she was, like, 18 or 19 when they filmed this. And she is just so young looking. It just freaked me out. But so when I was watching the pilot, I was like, oh, God, they're all young and I'm older now than Rory will be in this entire show, which freaked me out and gave me a slight crisis. But, you know, we talk a lot about on Hype about how we don't judge things on pilots, so we give things a few episodes. So it's to try them when it's a new show. But what do we think of the pilot? Because in a way, I feel like the Gilmore Girls pilot is actually pretty representative. The pilot that aired, I should say, because there was an unaired pilot that was changed significantly. But yeah, the actual pilot that we see, I think, is kind of the show. You know, they kind of get it right from the start. Did you like it, or you can't remember? Well, you can't distinguish between episodes.
Oh,
can
my
you?
God, you guys, this is gonna be awful. I like cannot remember what, like, I watched it so fast and it's all just one episode to me. What happened in the pilot? She went to her mom for money. And Rory started at the Chilton School. No, that was next episode.
She gets in and she meets Dean and she goes to her mom for money and they have a big fight and It just, you know, establishes the entire show. No big deal.
No, not at all. I will say with the pilot, I think some of the things that I enjoy it more later on when the dynamics grow is that I feel like Suki was set up. I thought she was like really crazy in the pilot because the way she's acting. Mm-hmm. And we don't really get the context for why she's doing the things she does. She's like running into things and falling over. And I'm like, what is this character? I was like, how is she going to stick around doing this bit for 7 seasons? But then, you right. know, she grows in future episodes and we see more of her. So that was a bit weird for me. But everything else, honestly, it was just really nice. And I sort of remember just going into this like, oh my God, I have like 23 or however many episodes that I have to get through in a week. How am I going to do this? And ending the pilot like, okay, next one. I'm ready. So it works in that respect.
You were totally going for it. Hey, did you know that Melissa McCarthy was not originally cast to play Suki?
I did not.
I vaguely remember this. And isn't that why they had to like refilm the first pilot? Because the original Suki dropped out or something like that?
No, she had to do something else. I can't remember what she was cast in, but she was doing something else. But she was the guy who plays Jackson. It's his wife in real life. The woman who was originally going to play Suki. And she's the harpist in this, right? Did you say that?
Sorry. Yeah. It is the harpist.
Yeah, that's
the
her.
Harpist. She's kind of stopped being in the show halfway through the season, right? Or no?
Yeah. No, she doesn't come. She wasn't really funny. Like, but it's weird watching her and imagining her playing Suki. Because Suki's so, like, sweet and lovely and the personality or like how that actress kind of portrays that character is way more sarcastic and kind of, I don't know, antagonistic, I guess. And they just gave, I think they just like wrote her in a little part and then realized like it was really working. So I don't know. It's so weird to imagine Melissa McCarthy not being in it.
In Buffy the Vampire Slayer, when they did their test pilot and they had a completely different Willow. So,
true that. Very true. Oh, so many parallels.
The thing that I love about the pilot, though, is that it, like we talked about before, it really sets up the idea of this mother-daughter dynamic. But at the same time, it also kind of shows that this is the first time in their relationship where because Rory is growing, they're kind of like treading on new water or where they don't always just agree on everything. And I feel like it could have like felt so out of place to like set these characters up like, oh, they're best friends. And then all of a sudden, like they're fighting, like it would have just been really easy for the show, like for that not to make sense in the context of what they were trying to set up. But somehow it like really works. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it totally does.
And it sort of subverts your expectations straight away because, you know, you have this young mother and, oh, it's that scene where they're both being hit on and it's all coming back to me, guys. and they're like, oh, you don't look like mother and daughter at all, and they're like, yeah, we know. And we sort of see that Rory is the responsible one and Lorelai is set up to be the slightly more flaky one, and that sort of presents your interesting setup there, which is again it's very sort of on just the pilot. It doesn't fully represent obviously the dynamic that they have, but it was very like, oh, we're watching something different now. I like that.
Yeah, and I think also as soon as you meet her mother, as soon as you meet Emily, like it just clicks a little for you and you realize it makes more sense versus just being kind of the trope of the irresponsible single parent, which it very easily could be. And as we go through the season, we see like she's not irresponsible and you know, and even in the pilot, like what she's doing to make sure her kid gets the education that she thinks, I mean, we'll, you know, public schools are fine, guys, but she wants to go to private school. So, you know, to make sure that she gets the education she thinks she needs to be able to like go to college and do all the things that she didn't do, she's willing to, you know, swallow her pride and like do the thing that she kind of thought she would never do. And having seen her as this kind of like you said, kind of flaky, like joking sort of character, immediately they're all so much more layered once you throw in that dynamic with the parents as well.
That's a good point. And honestly, that's one of the things that sort of really amazes me about Lorelai is how they manage to make that dichotomy seem so natural, because we have on one hand this parent who at times, like Rory, almost has to play her parent because Rory is like, oh, you're so nice and responsible. And Lorelai is just like, I don't want to do this, so I'm just not going to do it. On the other hand, you have this person who we learn later in the season left home, like got pregnant at 16, left home and moved into a shed and got a job at an inn and raised a baby and got a career and did this all on her own when she was 16 and has built this incredible life for both of them. And like, in some ways, I guess this experience and having to grow up so fast means that she is very much like, she has retained that sense of, I don't want to say immaturity, that's totally the wrong word, but like, you know what I mean? Like that sense of youthfulness,
yeah,
in her behavior. And also because Rory is the closest thing she, a person she has. So she sort of emulates that age. But she's also this hugely responsible, hugely amazing person who has done something that probably not a lot of people would ever be able to do.
Yeah. She's awesome. I totally agree. And, you know, I think we definitely see it maybe most in the episode, the dance episode, when Rory and Dean, you know, fall asleep at Miss Patty's. Oh, yeah. And Emily is visiting Lorelai when she's out with her back, like she's hurt her back. And you see this this conflict within Lorelai of her, you know, trying to be like the cool parent and trying to give her daughter the freedom that she never had, and then being so petrified that Rory's going to make the same mistakes that she did. You know, and I just, and like you said, she's just so interesting. I think in rewatching this season, I found myself much more interested in probably in the dynamic between Lorelai and Emily, like between Lorelai and Richard as well, versus what was happening with Rory, just because, you know, in comparison, Rory's drama definitely makes sense for her character. Like she's a 15-year-old girl, she cares about school and she cares about boys and she cares about her friends, and you know, she's dealing with family dynamics that she hasn't navigated before. But it just felt a little I want to say tame compared to what's happening with the others. And I think it also has to do with the fact that, you know, Alexis Bledel is great, and I think this was her first proper acting job. In this, before this, she had been modeling, which is kind of astounding when you think about it. Mm-hmm. But Lauren Graham and Kelly Bishop are just so fantastic. And just every single one of their exchanges is so heavy with subtext, you know, yeah. Like it's just, you just watch it and you think exactly like what were you saying before about Buffy? You just think, God, these people have so much history, you know, and there's just so much going on here. And it's just so tense and just, oh, it's just so good. It's so good. I love Emily so much. I was going to say, it's so funny because for as much as Lorelai does not want to be like her mother, they're very similar in the sense that they're both very strong-willed and they're both very stubborn. And that's why they butt heads so often. It's because neither of them will really back down. And they never, if you notice, like they don't usually ever apologize to each other. Mm-hmm. It just kind of goes unsaid and they like kind of get over it. But I think that that's why that animosity just runs so deep.
Yeah, I'm a really big fan of Emily as well. Like, I love that, first of all, like, you can never, least so far, like, you can never trust her to be, like, sympathetic in the way you want her to be sympathetic. But she always sort of comes with a little twist. Like, she's not the bad guy. And, like, the few times when you got to see her side of it, when she goes, like, When Richard's mother came and like offered Lorelai, basically like a way out of this weekly thing, and Emily was like, "Look, we finally got to, like, we finally cracked them. We got our family back. We got our daughter and our granddaughter back into our lives. And here comes the third Lorelai and tries to take it all away." And she. All the emotion on her face, and it's not like a full-on breakdown, but it's like, it's so intense, and you see everything from her perspective, and then you sort of have to make yourself remember, oh yeah, but she did, like, they were really mean apparently to Lorelai, and like it gave her this horrible life, but they're also two grandparents who want to spend time with their granddaughter. It's like, oh, and that when they give Rory the room, and it's like you feel the emotion on both sides so well. And you're, like, conflicted between the two. And the show does that so well.
Yeah, and one of my favorite Emily moments in the season is at Rory's birthday party when they have the party at the Gilmores, like at Lorelai and Rory's house. And Emily goes and
And it's just a classic Gilmore Girls moment of, like one of you said earlier, about how they just subvert what you think is going to happen. Like in any other show, she would go to the party and that would be a kind of step forward for them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they would all be like, oh, good, we're all kind of on the same page. But instead you get that moment where she goes, you know, she's outside and she just says, like, they're leaving. And she says, you know, I don't know my daughter at all. Like, I don't know, you know, and it's just, and it's like a punch to the gut, you know, mm-hmm. the way that she does it. And there's a similar moment with Richard when Christopher comes back, who we'll get to, and they have their dinner with his parents, who are just the worst people. Talk about villains. There's your villains. The worst people in the world. Right. And like Richard stands up for Lorelai and then, you know, she goes like, thanks. And then he just turns on her immediately. And you're like, oh God, I thought this was going to be a nice family moment, but right. Of course not. That's, you know, and I just love the way they play with that, and everything's so complicated. And like you said, you know, you can see it from their perspective. And I definitely can more now than when I was younger, I think, as well. But yeah, God, it's just so interesting.
How has it changed for you guys, like watching it now versus watching it when you were younger? Do you find yourself like, were you more sort of in tune with Rory's storyline and now it's more Lorelai, or no?
Yeah, well, like I said before, I think now when I watch Rory's storyline, at least in season one, I just think like, I'm not that into Dean as a character, so that's kind of boring to me. And I also think the Chilton stuff is not as established as it gets, you know, better. They're still working out what to do with Paris, and yeah. Chad Michael Murray's there for some reason and just ruining everything like he does. And I'm talking about Agent Carter. So, you know, kind of the kind of things that make up Rory's storyline are not as well developed, I don't think, as what makes up Lorelai's storyline. That is, when I was watching it now, I was thinking, oh, this seems truer. You know, the Lorelai stuff kind of rang a little truer for me now. And, but it's really the dynamic between her and her parents that I'm most interested in now. And maybe that's just because I'm so used to, you know, seeing her with Rory. Like, maybe that's just so normal to me now that I just think like, oh yeah, you know, that happens. But yeah, that definitely, I don't know if that you felt the same, Pam, but you know.
I just think that, I think like you were kind of getting at it. It's just all of Rory's problems seem very trivial in the grand scheme of things when you watch it as an adult. Like, not to say that she's not easy to relate to, but because we are at a point in our lives where we're closer to age with Lorelai than we are to Rory now, it just makes God. More sense for us.
I know. God. No, I think I still might be closer to... How old is Lorelai in this? I might still be closer to
32.
Oh, God, I'm closer to Lorelai. Seriously, Pam, I was watching this and was just like, oh God, I'm older now than Rory will be in the entire course of the show. Like, this is so depressing.
It's okay, because when she comes back, she'll be older, and then it'll
be true. So true. That's true.
Yes, then I'll feel you again.
Yeah, but then it's like, it's funny too, because I feel like this is kind of getting ahead, but when you're looking at it as a whole, like, you maybe when you were younger like me, you understood the, like, you were more like, I guess Dean held more of an appeal, and then you go back and you're just like, this is just a silly like high school boyfriend, you know.
You know,
just
what?
With the whole like the way that they break up and get back together and things like that. So it's sweet, because it's first love, but also, you know, you kind of like look at it now thinking that it's never going to last.
I have never understood Dean's appeal ever. And I think that's because I came into the show through some episodes later on. So I was just like, okay, but when's this guy going away? And I mean, Jared Padalecki is great to look at, but like, I don't know. I just never got it. He's just kind of weird, and
well, can
and
I
know
say,
it's
like,
meant to be sweet, but like, oh, I just don't get it.
I
yeah, go
totally 100% let you influence me in my thinking of Dean. I think,
yes.
I think that I'm pretty sure I would have felt this way anyway. I don't know, but I assume that I would. First of all, I was so confused that he kept coming back, because I thought he was like just there for like two episodes and then he would be gone. So I was like, what? And he came back at the end. I was like, wait, I thought we were done with Dean. When is Logan coming? And
hold on there.
but what I sort of, I came in to Dean like really from a weird, like, I think we sort of, he's a fictional character, but I feel like we sort of got the wrong like introduction in a way, because the way he's acting in the first couple of episodes, like, he seems very, what's the word, like, I don't know, anarchist is a totally wrong word to use, but he seems so disrespectful of Lorelai and of their whole situation. He's just so, like, the looks on his face is like, okay, whatever, weird person. And, like, it just, it really annoyed me because he's, that's, like, such a stupid teen boy attitude. And, like, I'm not used to seeing that on teen boys and TV shows you're supposed to root for. They're supposed, and then I know he gets better with the whole watching movies thing. But still, there was this sort of vibe I got from him. Like, he didn't like the whole Gilmore Girls setup, and he wasn't really, like, he didn't really care about anything, and I just didn't like that at all. And I was like, oh, he's so stupid. And then when he, like, got that whole thing with that episode with the dress where he was like, oh, I like a woman who cooks. I was like, okay, that's it. I'm done. He's stupid. I was like, that's the last straw, Dean. And then I was just angry at him from that point on. And then he broke up with her because she didn't say I love you. And like, who does that? Like, that's the most teenage ridiculous boys. Thing ever.
Teenage boys do that.
But I don't understand. Like, and that's true. And that sort of speaks to the show's realism. So I'm not, like, judging this show at all. I'm just like, I find it really hard to see how you could possibly root for this character. And I'm going to piss off all the Dean shippers out there. But I'm new, so you can't blame me. I think that's how it goes. But I just don't. Like, everything he does and says to me, like, I just, like, it's like a person you meet in real life and you don't like them, so everything they say, like, rubs you the wrong way.
Yes.
Like, I love Jared Padalecki and I love him in Supernatural, but this is not Supernatural. It's not that character.
Yeah. So have right, I told so- you about how I thought until, like, I don't know, last year that his name in Supernatural was also Dean, and yeah. then I only just... The other one was Dean. Yeah. And he was not.
It's very confusing.
It's still confusing to me. And didn't someone tell me there's an episode where they, like, go on the WB lot and there's, like, a Gilmore Girls reference on Supernatural?
Yeah, there is.
I feel like that sounds... Yeah. Yeah, you know, I 100% agree. Like, Dean can do nothing right in my eyes just because I don't like him. And I don't like his weird leather jacket. And I don't like the way that he's, like, just goes to Rory's house all the time and, like, pesters her to go out with him. Like, I think, you know, when you're a teenager, you think that's cute. But now I'm like, God, Dean, you're, like, so possessive and annoying. Mm-hmm. But I think also, without spoilers, I think some of the things that happen later with Dean's character definitely color some people's feelings towards him in terms of liking him more than the other Rory's potential boys.
Okay.
So well, there's that.
I'll try to, like, keep an open mind, but he's just gotten on the, like, wrong foot with me, so I'm very skeptical.
No, I totally agree. I could just never see the appeal of Dean. I'm so sorry, like, well. But
I'm
yeah.
just gonna say, like, in defense of Dean, because I you know, like I said, well first of all, we're gonna try to keep this balance. Yeah, and I'm always the one that keeps things balanced, apparently. But also, like, I understand the appeal, like I said, because originally when I was watching this, like, at 14, 15, whatever, like, I just, the idea of Dean was nice. And I think that really, when you look at all of Rory's boyfriends, like, when they happen, like, those are the kinds of people she needs to be in a relationship with. So it's going to be interesting to see, like, in the long term, like, what happens with all of that. But, you know, as like a first boyfriend, I feel like Dean isn't too bad. And then when you said that, like, he's just kind of a little weirded out and not really into the whole Gilmore Girl relationship, I feel like most people kind of look at them that way, kind of like they've got a third head and they're maybe attached like a little too close at the hip. So I forgive him for that. And yeah, I just think that, like, he's, like, you know, when you're younger, he's very sweet. He's, like, he kind of, like, goes with the flow after he realizes that this is the way their family is. He does care a lot for Rory. He loses a couple of points, like, looking back, watching it, because he breaks up with her because she won't say she loves him back. But at the same time, that is, like Merrima said, a very teenage boy type thing to say. But he's got, like, the allure of, like, the Prince Charming. He's, like, tall, dark, and handsome, and he's, like, mysterious, but also not dangerous. And so you're like, oh, he's, like, the nice boy. That's okay. He'll be fine.
No, I, like, objectively agree with everything you're saying. I think, yeah, he is, like you said, Rory kind of dates who she needs to at the time. And Dean is kind of, if you look at him objectively, sort of the perfect first boyfriend but I still don't like him.
It's just his attitude. There's just something about him I don't like.
And, you know, also, like, without going too spoilery, like you said, it's just like all of these boys eventually do come back. They filter in and out of Roy's life. Right. And I think, like, towards the end, like, when he's not the right person for her, like, anybody who kind of was Teen Dean understands why they can't be together. And, like, and your opinions of people change over the course of whatever. But even, like, I mean, this is not a spoiler for Selena because, like, Teen Jess is a thing that we talk about all the time.
Yeah.
Teen Jess is, like, not the best person when you first meet them. So I just think that, like, you want to keep an open... Yeah, and I don't know where I'm going with this, but pretty much, like, Jess gets better.
Yeah,
and
right.
They all kind of get better in a way. And they all have, like, bad qualities. Like, they're not, there's never, like, a perfect guy for her.
Mm.
Yeah, same with all
of them. And I would also say, just in terms of judging characters, like, I'm absolutely not going to hold Dean to this thing, because I know, again, with Rewatchable, we're doing the whole Buffy thing, and some of the newbies are like, oh, I don't like Xander, I hate Xander, I hate, like, the way he's acting towards Buffy, blah, blah, blah. But, like, that's based on season one, and that's maybe based on something like getting the wrong feel for him straight away, and I would hope that as the show goes on, they sort of accept that the character grows and changes and goes through some different things. So I will definitely extend the same courtesy to Dean and all of Rory's boys, I promise.
Yeah, no, I think Dean definitely improves in season two. They kind of didn't know exactly what they were doing with him in season one, as with a lot of the characters. Actually, I guess let's keep on the men for a while.
Luke.
All right. Okay. Well, I was gonna say characters that they weren't sure what they were doing with, like, from the start. Luke was meant to be a woman. Like, Luke's character, the diner owner, was meant to be a female, and then they changed it. Thought, you know, we need some more men, and I think Scott Patterson came in, and they were like, well, we need him to play Luke, but just imagine, like, so they, you know, they had no idea what they were doing with this, and.
Would have been a much different show, wouldn't it?
Impressive. I think that relationship definitely came from just seeing the two of them on screen. Like, they have such great chemistry. But we actually, you know, like, Luke and Lorelai are not a thing in season one. It's all about Lorelai and Max. How do we feel about Max?
Well, can I feel like I'm hugging all the feelings here, but, like, I actually really like Max. Which I don't know if that's, like, a popular opinion or not, but I remember when he was first introduced, it was before the whole Luke and Lorelai thing had really taken off, and I was thinking, you know what, I actually, like, I could see them too. Like, I could see their chemistry. I think he looks like a nice man. At this point, though, I'm totally over him. I'm like, please go away so that Luke and Lorelai can be a thing, because now he's just, like, a roadblock to my OTP. But, like, at this point, when he was first introduced, I thought he was a nice person, and it's not the worst person she could marry, I'm sure. I hope she doesn't.
I actually do like Max as well, and that is an unpopular opinion in the Gilmore Girls family.
Well, fandom. I guess because he is obstructing, like, your ship, so you wouldn't like him. But, like, just objectively, I think he's nice.
Well, here's the thing. The idea of Max just bothers me because because as somebody who also grew up with, like, in a single parent family household, I think about the idea of my mother, like, deciding to get involved with a teacher or my teacher pursuing a relationship with my mother, like, knowing that it's going to be awkward, and it just doesn't sit well with me. He's a nice guy, but I don't like it. I don't like the idea. I don't know,
but it works in the Princess Diaries, so.
But anytime this happens, anything, it makes me cringe. It just
Pam goes crazy. Yeah. I love that. No, I totally understand all of that. But I think the reason that the relationship kind of doesn't work for me is that they spend so much time telling you, like, the characters spend so much time telling you how they, like, can't stay away from each other and how there's this, you know, connection between them, and without really showing it, I think. You know, like at the end, I mean, Gilmore Girls does a weird thing anyway with relationships often where, like, you don't see someone for a couple episodes and you kind of forget about them, and then they're back and they're, like, basically married or whatever. Mm. So, So, you know, so the episode where you find out that they've been talking again, which is obviously just to set up the season one finale, you're kind of right. Like, oh, and they spend all this time saying, oh, like, I can't stay away from you. It's so irresistible. And like, how are we going to make this work? And you think like, are you though? I mean, I'm not even anti the relationship. I quite like Max as a character, and I totally get what you're saying, Pam. But I guess, you know, everything for Rory in sort of season one has to deal with Chilton. So, like, there's just a way to connect the two. But, yeah, I mean, I think they just don't really sell it as well as they could have. And probably because by that point they were like, well, this is not going to be a thing that lasts. So, you know.
Oh, my God, spoilers. No,
no, but, no, I mean, know, yeah. Like, you know, eventually. I'm not saying. When eventually, well, Luke and Lorelai are there's some flirtation there. Mm-hmm. So, you well, know, like, think, they're already obviously experimenting with that in season one is what I mean.
Yes.
So,
and
like,
I think
they're not sold
like,
on Max as being the guy for her.
And, like, that's,
and
like,
it feels like the writers are not sold. Yeah.
Because like up until they started introducing Luke and Loki? What?
Luke.
What's this? Luke and Lorelai, I was like, okay, I like Max. I don't get, like, the whole Luke and Lorelai thing. I thought it was kind of, like... Because, again, they hadn't really started setting it up yet, and they didn't know what to do with Luke. And I think it was only really when Luke and Lorelai... Like, when they started, obviously, spending time together, and Luke got funny. Like, that's when I sort of... Because I think a lot of people probably have this, where they see him in, like, the first couple of episodes, and they're like, well, he's, you know, what? Who's this? Is he the main guy? Like, really? But then you get through season one, and now he's just so adorable, and, like, he hates everything, and I just love that. And he, like, loves Rory, which is my favorite thing. Like, I think that's what most endeared me to him, is how protective he is of Rory. And
oh, like when he won't let Dean in the diner.
Yeah,
that is like, my favorite scene of the fight. Or when he drives Lorelai to the hospital.
Yes.
Even though he's in the hospital. I can't, you guys.
And like, I love all of that. And that moment that they started introducing that, I was like, okay, Max needs to go away now because I'm so not, like, it doesn't even, and it doesn't even feel like there's anything between Lorelai and Max because she's so clearly, like, and I think they sort of shot themselves in the foot with the Rory... No, the Lorelai. I'm sorry, the names will come to me eventually. But the Lorelai and Luke chemistry, because it's so apparent and it's so all-consuming that it's very, very hard to believe that, like, the show keeps pushing them apart. And it keeps going, like Lorelai, sort of every couple of episodes, like, they have to check in with Lorelai. And she's like, no, he doesn't like me. And she's like, no, I don't like him. And it's like, but that's a lie. And we all know that that's a lie. And, like, they almost kiss a couple of times. And then they revert back to their, oh, we don't know that the other person likes me. Like, la, la, la. And, like, I feel like it's not something the show could help. Because they just, like, they are clearly a thing. But... the show was trying to not make them a thing. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but anyway, I just
that's 100% right. I totally agree with that. That's what I mean when I say, like, by the end of the season you kind of feel like they're not writing Max to last.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know,
because
it feels like they've already committed to Luke even though nothing has happened yet. And that's why, like, all that stuff with what's her name, Rachel, all that stuff with her, you're just like, oh, you're so annoying, like, go away.
See, I but, like, again, I mean, she's just an obstacle, isn't she? Like,
right,
she came into being,
like,
a plot point.
Yeah, I don't dislike her, but you never feel like they talk, again, it's like similar with Max, they talk about her as if her and Luke had this, like, huge romance, this whirlwind romance, and they have all this history, and you just kind of never feel it because, like you said, that the chemistry between Luke and Lorelai is so apparent.
Yeah.
And just in comparison to that, you think, like, well, nothing really compares to that. Now I have a confession to make. Luke is actually not my favorite person for Lorelai. True story.
Is it Christopher?
I am saying nothing. People can watch their Lorelai has a lot of guys.
She does.
During seven seasons. And when we get to the one that I prefer, then we will discuss it. But
interesting.
But yeah, you know, I'm wondering if that will change this time. Like, because I'm already feeling more connected to Lorelai's storyline. But yeah, I think the chemistry is totally there and all of that, but I don't know. I was just never sold on, like, I really like Luke, but Yeah, I was just never sold on that whole thing. So we will see how that plays out.
I wanted to ask Pam, like, because I know, I feel like I remember you saying that, like, when you watched the show when you were older, Luke seemed a lot more attractive to you than he had when we were younger.
Yeah, it's either that he supplies the coffee, which is always priorities. No, I'm just kidding. From a purely superficial standpoint, I just remember, like, when I rewatched the series, I must have been in like my 20s. I was just like, oh, Scott Patterson's actually pretty attractive. And when I was younger, I was like, oh, but he's like an old man, you know? So it was just like a purely like superficial thing, but also just because of like how he like just so like subtly cares for both of them.
Just
really is beautiful because it's something that Lorelai doesn't really even notice until I think it's like, you know, like Suki or even like, Emily, she brings it up. Yeah. And she brings up the way that Luke looks at her and stuff. And so it's like, it's almost like, oh, he's always been there, but she just has never like realized it.
Yeah.
I love that scene with Emily. She's like, she like makes Lorelai admit it and then is like, good, let me tell you how you're like ruining your life with this decision. Such an Emily moment. Hey, can we talk about Lane a little bit? Because I can't say that word. I love Lane so much. But again, I had a thought watching Lane and Mrs. Kim in this. I guess, first of all, Selena, like, what do you feel about these characters?
Yes, I'm so, like, there's a lot of things about everything I know about Gilmore Girls that's wrong. But also the fact that Rory has no friends, that was wrong.
She doesn't have a lot of friends. That's kind true, of on the money, I think.
She does have Lane, and I like Lane so much. I really like, not only because now, I mean, not to get too into, like, the politics of it all, but right now in Hollywood, like, everyone's freaking out about the fact that Star Wars might actually have an Asian lead because, like, Asian people are so underrepresented in Hollywood, and here we have Gilmore Girls, which is, like, boom, main character, and she's such a great character as well. Like, she's just... it's so hard because I feel so bad for her. Like, I'm really worried about Lane because, like, in real life, like, she has to hide, like, all her personality in the closet for this mother who is just clamping down on her. And it's almost like it's very uncomfortable to watch because, like, you just imagine what happens, like, when she goes home and Rory isn't there. And I'm like, oh, no, poor Lane. But I like her as a character, and I am very happy that Rory has a friend.
I kind of love Mrs. Kim. I mean, you know, I think, again, like, she maybe improves with time. Mm-hmm. Like, you kind of get used to her. I think they show that Mrs. Kim's overprotectiveness is from a place of love.
Yeah, they do. They
like
do
it's
that.
Because she cares a lot about Lane. Not that that like excuses it, but actually, when I was watching this, I was kind of wondering. I don't know. Like, Mrs. Kim, I guess, is a kind of that stereotypical like trope of a sort of what do they call it? The tiger mom or like the dragon mom or whatever. Like that kind of Asian parent that's like so overbearing with their kid. And I was just sort of conscious of it now. And I was wondering if, you know, if like Gilmore Girls aired now, if that would be, if they could do it to that extent. But also the character of Lane is based off, you asking about like who is based off real people. The character of Lane is based off Amy Sherman Palladino's, like, her best friend, who I think was a like executive producer or a producer on Gilmore Girls as well. And I think of like her relationship with their mother. So, you know, but anyway, I don't know. I just, it kind of jumped out at me a little. And I love Lane. Lane's like the fandom nerd, like hiding her obsessions away. So people like don't like judge her. And so parents are like, why are you obsessed with Star Wars? Or like, whatever. So I totally felt that. But I really like Lorelai and Lane's kind of relationship as well. It's really sweet.
I think like Mrs. Kim kind of reminds me of my grandparents, who are very, very strict. Also not originally from America. They're actually from Latin America on that side. And I think that a lot of the ideas, like the values and stuff that Mrs. Kim kind of holds deer are very similar to theirs. So I totally commiserate with Lane wanting to do more. Like, my grandparents were like, you can't ever like have sleepovers, or like, you know, you shouldn't like date until you're older. Like, they're just now, like, while I'm in my 20s, like saying like, oh, if you want to have a boyfriend now, like, you can, that's a thing you can do. Like,
all right, grandma, that's nice, thank you.
So yeah, I totally commiserate with her. Just needed to like lead this double life. And the thing that I love about Lane is that she's got so much energy, and she's got the energy to make it work. And she's just got like a plan for everything, which is so funny. Like, you know, it's like anytime like some, like she's like sequestered to the house, like she's like always like running here and there, like, Rory, like, I have 10 minutes for you to do X, Y, and
Z. Yeah. Yeah, I love that. She's actually always running places especially in season one. Yeah, she's like, I've got 15 minutes, we have to do this thing, and then I have to go back, and then I'll see you later, and like, we'll do this thing, and everyone else is just like, all right, like, they just accept that's what it is. I love it.
And I think that growing up, this is just gonna say the last thing, growing up with a mother like Lorelai, Rory could only have a friend like Lane, because right. like
that's very true.
Lane runs at like 1,000 miles a minute, so mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is very true. Very true. Okay, well, like, we've got some kind of, I don't know, questions we want to talk about, like bigger questions from the season to kind of round this out. But before we do, I guess let's talk a little bit about Stars Hollow itself and the town, because that's kind of a...
Oh, my God, I want to live there. It's right. A beautiful place.
it's kind of the town is like the character, and all the characters there are just nuts and amazing. I forgot that when Kirk was first introduced in this, like, he wasn't really Kirk. He was, what's he called?
He was Mick.
Mick, right.
The internet guy.
Who is this?
Kirk. Well, you'll wait and see.
Okay.
Because, yeah, he's like a, he'll come back, but that's not a spoiler, because he's the best. And
also because I have no idea who it is.
Exactly. But, I mean, we meet, like, Taylor is kind of introduced sort of halfway through the season, and we have Miss Patty and Babette and, like, all of them. Do you have a favorite character, Selena, of the, like, wacky townspeople of Stars Hollow?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really, like, I don't know them very well yet, most of them, but I guess what's-her-face, the one who runs the dancing studio, I think she's really nice. And sweet, Miss Patty. And funny, and yeah. And she's probably the one we get to know the best, too, so...
I think
so. For now, it's Miss Patty for me.
Yeah.
I also Pam really emphasize with the woman who lost her cat, because that is very traumatic.
Oh, Babette.
So, yeah.
The next door neighbor. With the, like, jazz husband.
Yeah.
Pam, I kind of... I think, like, just all of those characters are so... part of my memory of this show that I forgot that most of them aren't introduced probably till season two. You know, when I was watching this, I was like, but where are all the people?
I totally agree. But I guess since it's not really a spoiler because he does get introduced, I just love how Taylor is Luke's arch nemesis.
Yes.
Pretty much. It's like their relationship is probably one of my favorite secondary relationships in the entire series.
Is he the one who tells them to be quiet in the cinema, or is he the mayor?
He's the mayor. Okay. Well, there is another mayor for like an episode in this, but he's the one who's doing like the reenactment, and he's like the girl. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm trying to interrupt you. I really love the guy, Suki's guy, the vegetable guy.
Jackson.
Yeah. He's so
great.
Cute.
Jackson and Suki are great. And Michelle.
In the first episode, like when they were arguing, or the second episode or whenever it was, and I was just thinking, wouldn't it be so cool if them two got together? And I was like, oh, this show is never going to do that. And they did, so I was happy.
Yeah, I like how, I love that episode. We'll talk about that in a sec. But, you know, a couple other things, I guess, that are sort of introduced in season one that then come back, of course, at the town meetings that are always just ridiculous and are amazing. And also all the weird town, like, events and holidays, like they have the reenactment in this, And, you know, there's always some weird festival or some weird mm-hmm. thing going on in the town, like as you move forward. And there's always a lot of like meetings about it and there's much discussion. And I just love that aspect so much.
My favorite is the Founders Day, where like Miss Patty and I think it's Taylor like can't decide on what the origin story of the town is.
Oh yeah.
For this that's probably one of my favorites. But yeah, it's just like and coming from kind of like a smaller town, it's just like so endearing. Like this is like severely dramatized in terms of like my small town, but yeah, just like seeing how into it everybody gets is really fun.
I was just going to say, I think I always wonder if they got some inspiration from Stars Hollow for Parks and Recreation, because I sort of see a lot of the same riffs and a lot of the same jokes and like the recurring sort of people that show up at town meetings and stuff. Like, I feel like there's some similarity there that I like.
Yeah. That's all I got.
And,
that's all I got. Sorry.
What's his face? Like, Luke, I almost expect him to like turn and look at the camera and be like, oh my God.
I mean, he basically goes as far as he can without doing that.
You know what's so funny is that like Luke, for as much as he like is so grumbly and hates all of these things, like he's never moved away.
Yeah, so
right.
He likes it really.
Yeah, 100%. All right, let's get into some of the questions we kind of, I guess, left with at the end of the season. First of all. Max totally proposes is a thing that happens. Oh, trivia alert. You know, he proposes with like 1,000 yellow daisies. And when they were filming this, apparently they put like 1,000 flowers there. And Amy Sherman-Palladino turned up and was like, well, that's like 2 tables worth of flowers. And it was just didn't look like anything because they're so tiny.
Yeah.
So they had to just keep just adding more and more. And I think they like bought every flower like in, I don't know, however many like kilometer radius from there. They were just like, what? Oh, yeah. And so there's like way more than 1,000.
I was thinking they'd look like there were more than 1,000 actually. So that's kind of,
cause they were like, it's going to make a huge impact. And 1,000 is like not that many when you see them all together.
Yeah.
So yeah, there was like heaps more there. And then I think at the end of it, they like gave them out to the casting crew or something.
Aww,
like they could take.
Cute.
I definitely read something about that. Anyway, should Lorelai say yes? What do we think? I'll go to Selena. What do you reckon?
Well, I think for me, no. But for the story, I think yes, because otherwise it doesn't make any sense to end the season, you know, on the proposal if it turns out that she is saying no. I think we need, I think Lorelai really wants, we get this in the season, like she really wants a family for Rory, and she really, you know, she's tried to keep her dating life so separate, and here she's like, okay, here's a guy I could maybe actually see myself settling down with, and he could move into the house, or like whatever, and Rory could have a father figure in her life that was like a stable presence, and this dude is very stable. So I think just from that she would say yes, and we'd have to see how she then gets out of it, because it's very obvious that they don't love each other. At least she doesn't love him to the extent that she should really marry him. You know, like it just seemed, also the whole proposal with him being like, oh, we always fight so much, we should get married. It's like, that's the dumbest thing like you could possibly do. And you must know that, like someone needs to tell them that this is really, really dumb.
Right. It was very impulsive.
Yeah.
And you think like, aren't you meant to be kind of adults?
Exactly. Exactly. So I feel like she'll say yes, and then like at some point she'll be like, oh crap, like what did I do? Or she'll have to get out of it. I don't think they're actually gonna get married, but we'll have to wait and see. Maybe like they get to the altar and then like Luke is like, I object, or like Christopher or something.
Or Rory's like, I object.
Yeah. That's true.
What's the point? Yeah, I mean, for all of the reasons that we discussed, like I want to like Max as well. I really do want to like him, and I really want to like their relationship, but I just feel like the writers' hearts are not in it, and therefore the characters' hearts are not in it by the end. So you kind of feel like why would you say yes? I mean, it's very, it's a nice proposal. Like, he knows how to sweet talk a lady, you know, when he's, when they're on the phone and everything. And yeah, that's all good. But I mean, yeah, I don't know. I think we kind of said this before. So we'll see if Selena's predictions play out in season two. Because
my predictions so far have
beyond.
Been so accurate.
We should link to that article in the show notes.
I feel
that you did,
so embarrassed,
so
like, for, you know, when I was like, went off and like, oh my God, I cannot believe that she named her own child after herself. Like, how completely stuck up and stupid is that? And then it turns out that she was just really tired at the hospital. And it was like not a thing at all, and I felt bad because I really like didn't like that they were both named Lorelai like before I started watching.
Yeah,
because I thought it was a whole like you are my child and you know, but no,
yeah,
it was not.
No, I love that. All right, and then more questions. I don't know who wrote this, but I think this is a good question. When we're looking at Lorelai's relationship with her parents, mm-hmm. obviously understandable that she doesn't want a relationship, but do we think it was right or fair of her to restrict their time to Rory so much, especially to just like major holidays? So who suggested this? Raise your hand, Nick.
I suggested this.
Well, what do you think, Pam?
Well, I, you know, I feel like, and it makes sense why, because they spend every waking moment together, but perhaps Lorelai's bias seeped into Rory's initial thoughts on her grandparents, but then just to see how much they care for her, and just to see like her relationship specifically with Richard blossom, it just seems so sad to me to think that they could have had like all these other years and they didn't really get to know her until later in life. But that's also coming from somebody who's severely close to their grandparents, so the idea of this just makes me really sad. And I don't know if like if it was like purely for selfish reasons on Lorelai's part, it was like, I'm holding a grudge, so therefore my kid is going to hold a grudge, or if it was more because she was scared that Rory would turn out to be just like them, like, you know, being an impressionable mind. She would just, side with them more. I don't know. Like, what do you guys think, though?
Well, I sort
I agree.
I was going to say, I think, like, from Lorelai's perspective, I think it probably, you see that there's a lot of fear that Rory is going to turn to her grandparents over Lorelai. Because I think, you know, when Lorelai, she had this kid when she was 16, she was still a child herself. I think there maybe was a lot of fear on her part that the grandparents would just kind of swoop in and raise Rory like they were her parents. And that they would, first of all, treat Rory the same way that they did Lorelai, but also Lorelai would kind of become secondary in her child's life. And it's very, very clear that Lorelai needs Rory very, very much. Like, she's constructed her identity around Rory, and she's sort of very, very clear about the fact that this is like the single most important thing in her life. And having this like generation above that know how to raise kids, sort of, and that have money and that have security and they have all the things that technically Rory should have access to. I think Lorelai is really, really afraid of giving Rory access to that because she might lose Rory as a consequence.
Yeah, there's definitely an element of their relationship that's sort of unhealthily codependent. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's really nice, but at the same time, when it comes to these kinds of moments, yeah, like it's almost Lorelai being really possessive of Rory and, like you said, not kind of wanting to share that, like share her or share her relationship because of all the reasons that you just said that I totally agree with. And we see it in the episode where she like runs away and in that episode, you totally understand why she's scared, because the first thing her mother does is be like, oh, well, she wanted to come here. She didn't want to be with you. Like, we win. She likes us better. And you just think like Lorelai just must know that that's exactly the response. Like, she's not being crazy by thinking that that's what's going to happen if, you know, Rory forms a relationship, whatever, that she kind of becomes this like piece in the game of her mother to play against her. But I think she also underestimates, like Pam said, how much of a relationship their grandparents, like how how much they want to have this relationship with their granddaughter outside of the issues with their daughter.
But that's I was going to say, that's probably also part of the, I mean, I have no idea, but I imagine that's part of the growth that Lorelai has to go through, is not only making her peace with her parents, but also just accepting that Rory needs them, and maybe needs them in a way that she doesn't need Lorelai, or maybe in a different way. And I think that's sort of, because it is kind of partly coming from a selfish place, but I think it's also just partly coming from this fear that they would treat Rory the same way that they treated Lorelai. So it's sort of this mixture of these two very strong emotions, and I think she has to sort of accept the fact that these, because I think she knows that the grandparents want to be a part of Rory's life, but she has to accept the fact that maybe Rory also wants this, and that's not something that she can stop, and it's not necessarily something she should stop.
And also that her relationship with her parents is not going to be Rory's relationship mm-hmm. with her parents. Yeah, like, exactly. I think she has a lot of trouble. I mean, she very clearly does not have closure on this whole thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, like, you can see that from the pilot, and it goes all the way through season one. Like, the wound is still very open between her and her parents. And, you know, like you said, she projects a lot of that onto Rory as well. And so you can understand why she basically holds onto Rory for dear life and doesn't want to let her anywhere near these people who she thinks kind of, you know, like ruined her life in a way. Mm-hmm. You know, there's kind of a lack of agency offered to Rory in that decision by her being the mother and basically being like, well, this is what's happening, and you kind of don't get a choice. And, you know, as Rory gets older, like you said, Lorelai might have to accept that, well, this might be something that Rory wants, and it, you know, probably would be more up to Rory deciding, like, well, what kind of relationship does she want to have with her grandparents, and like, mm-hmm. what do they want to do, and all of that. But for now, you just feel it's a little stilted and a little, this is something we were going to talk about actually. We'll get to some listener feedback at the end of the show, which will be soon. Someone emailed in and mentioned, which is something I wanted to bring up anyway, about how they use the, camera angles to kind of, give the different feeling of each. So, you know, when they're at the town, they're always doing these really long shots where they walk around, because they film it on this huge set. And they can like walk all the way around this whole town set. And then when they are at the Friday night dinners, like they're just these, you know, not moving like camera shots of just them all sitting at the table. And then you just see each person's face and like they're all so far away from each other. I read that in something, or like, I don't know, Amy Shem and Palladino did some interview or something, and they were talking about, you know, they wanted to just make the difference very evident straight away, and you could see why Lorelai would want to sort of get away from this environment, which is just so like static and nothing happens, and so lacks that kind of freedom that she obviously, you know, requires. Mm-hmm. And you see it like very visually in the Stars Hollow scenes where, like we said, with like Lane running through the streets and and like following them around the town, and you go through like the gazebo and all of this stuff, and that's just like a fun little thing that you can kind of watch out for as you go forward, and like see if that changes at the Friday night dinners, or if it doesn't change, who knows, we'll wait and see. All right. I guess we've got a few more predictions for you, Selena, where I know you've done so well so far. So like, let's keep going with this. So which parent do you think Lorelai is going to kind of patch things up with first, or none?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, I put this in, and this is a total newbie question, so I apologize if I'm completely off base, but I feel like
I love this question.
Cause I feel like so far what we've seen really is Rory bonding more with Richard and Lorelai bonding more with, or not bonding, but getting an understanding with Emily. And considering how the show is sort of all about mothers, obviously, and daughters, that's probably the more prevalent relationship for now. At the same time, I think there's a real power in Lorelai's relationship with her father, and it might be more easy for her to accept Richard's role in Rory's life as well, because he's not necessarily, he can't take her place, you know, I would say that the more important relationship is probably the one between Lorelai and Emily, but I think that the one with Richard, I don't know. I wouldn't say it's thus complicated, because it certainly has been very complicated too, but I'm going to say maybe she patches it up with Richard first, and we'll see. Because the Emily thing feels like it's going to be more prominent. Although I would love to see the two of them as a united force. I feel like they're kind of unstoppable when we've seen them work together.
Yeah. All right. I feel like we should make a scorecard or something. Someone do that. Send it in so we can keep track of Selena's predictions. All right. Next, is Dean going to stick around? Or what do you think is going to happen with Dean going into season two?
Yeah, I think I also put this in too, because I, like, as I said, I thought that Dean was gone. Like, I thought he was just there for a couple of episodes and he would be, like, off to star in Supernatural. So, like, and I'm not sure, when was this film? Was 2000 or 2005?
I think it was, yeah, like 2000.
Yeah, okay, so he's got a couple of years for that. So,
yeah.
I will say, like, now that they are back together, which I totally didn't see coming. I thought it was over. I was like, he's a jerk. He's gone away. Like, now, where's Jess? Hashtag. but, yeah, I will say he's probably going to stick around at least for another season. I don't know. I just feel like he's going to go away. I don't know. I feel like it's weird that he's still in the show. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Another season. All right. And he's gone.
All right, what about Paris and Rory? Do you think... We didn't talk much about Paris. I love Paris.
I like Paris a lot. She
is crazy, and I love her. She's kind of mean. She's really mean in this season, I think. But we get a little bit of a look into her, kind of perhaps why she might be like that when we see her, like, family and everything. But do you think, you know, what do you think is going to happen with Paris and Rory? Like, are they going to be friends? Are they going to stay... I don't know what the plural of that is. Someone tell me. What do you think is going to happen with Paris going forward?
Well, I hope she sticks around. Again, it's kind of like a slightly spoiler territory. I kind of get the feeling she's sticking around, but I like her so much again, and I feel like when she and Rory started becoming friends, I really enjoyed it, but I did sort of have the feeling that it was coming too soon, so I'm really glad they took a step back from that, even though the reason with the whole Tristan thing was kind of stupid, because he's so clearly out to manipulate them all, but I guess Paris likes him, so she's kind of blind to that. I hope that they become friends, because I like her a lot, and I hate the whole bitchy bully attitude. Maybe not in season two, maybe we have to wait a little bit longer for that, but yeah, I have a feeling that by the time that they graduate, they will be like best friends. That's my prediction.
Yeah, I just hate Tristan so much. Like, Chad McElmurray does nothing for me, and he's like in his most annoying role in this.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, so I don't like them fighting over Tristan, but I do like, you know, I don't like the whole Paris being like mean thing or whatever, but I do kind of like that it's sort of the basis of it is like her feeling threatened academically. Yeah. Like, she's always been the smartest person, and really like the core of their conflict is more that than and you know, Paris perhaps feeling like Rory has things a little easier in life than she does, and that she maybe has to work at things, and she's, you know, a little more awkward even than Rory, who's pretty awkward. So yeah, I kind of enjoy the conflict between them, and I could do without it being like boy related, though. That is
right,
that is definitely a thing. So yeah, all right.
And then she handled it really well, like Rory. She never like goes bitch mode like in response, which I really like.
Yeah, that's true. And then I'm assuming this was you. When will Luke and Lorelai be a thing? And then 1,000 question marks. Well, tell us, Lena, when will they be a thing?
I feel like it's going to be a really long time. And that's really annoying to me, because I just want them to get together today. And it's so stupid. And
you think it's going to be like a will they, won't
they? It's
going
to be like a slow burn. Yeah, I think so. Not for 7 seasons, but like... The show, I don't know, I'm kind of torn, because I feel like the show very clearly is setting them up now, and there's only so long you can maintain the tension. I'm sure they're going to get to this whole, oh, they're going to make out, oh, we're not ready for it, and oh, they get together, and oh, they break up, and all that stuff, but I just need them to, like, at least, like, make out soon, because the sexual tension is, like, too much, so...
It's killing you.
It's killing me, and, like, maybe, okay, so maybe, like, she's... not sure if she's going to marry what's his face, Max, and then she like talks to Luke about it, and then they make out, and she's like, oh no, what am I gonna do? And then she breaks up with Max, and then they can't be with Luke because it's like too soon, and then he finds someone else, and that's my prediction.
I like it. Hey, we didn't even talk about Christopher, which
I was like, at that point I was already team Luke, so I was just like, oh no, another one.
But when you, I think his casting is so perfect because you can so see why she was like attracted to him as a teenager.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
She just hasn't stopped being a teenager. Like he just says, he's just like the same. It's just so ridiculous. Yeah. All right. Pam, did you want to say anything about any of Selena's predictions? Well, we'll jump into our favorites.
No, I was just going to tell her pick a season for this Luke Lorelai situation. Oh, God. She so desperately wants.
God, yeah, like the season. First kiss or... Yeah, I guess.
Like, yeah, I guess
that's so, like the moment the ship sails, which is
I yeah. Guess, when
like,
does the ship sail? Yeah, choose a number.
3.
All right. People, put it on your Selena sitcom. 3.
No. The season it has to be like season 2 finale or something.
Okay.
But
season 2 finale, beginning.
I don't know. Okay. Yeah, you that's my prediction.
Season 2 finale. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll check those out as we go forward.
Yeah.
So we're just going to do some favorites of the season just quickly because we've talked about most of this stuff. We want to talk about our favorite episode quickly. Selena doesn't have any because she watched it all so quickly.
They were it's all like my one. So,
yeah. I am going to say 2, actually. I really love Double Date because we talk about Jackson and Suki earlier. I love them together, they're amazing. And that episode is so funny. Lorelai's, what's his name? Rune? The guy. Rune. It's not a spoiler alert to say, like, we have not seen the last of Rune.
Oh, I'm so glad. He's so funny.
He's just, like, the worst person you've ever met. And just has no reason to be, you know? Yeah. And he looks at Lorelai and he's like she's a like Lauren Graham is a beautiful woman, yeah. And he just looks at her like, oh, terrible.
It's so funny.
You just think like, what is going on in this guy's head? So like that is definitely a favorite for me. I just always have found that episode like so funny.
So funny, and then and also when he meets Michelle, that's like the best.
Yeah, Michelle's disdain for everyone just is a lie. Like just
does
me
it, does it speak daily. To you?
It so does. How did you know?
I knew.
Yeah. And my other favorite is the third Lorelai, for which we talked about earlier. I just love seeing Emily dealing too. Like the mother-in-law from hell as well. Like, and suddenly having like this, and you just think like, well, it could never be worse than Emily Gilmore. And like Trix comes in and is just like the craziest, like the things that she says are just like so outrageous. And she just dresses she's in the Addams family and like it's just so funny and she's just such a good character. So yeah, those are definitely 2 of my favorites from the season. Pam, what did you pick?
I really like, I talked about this before, but Forgiveness and Stuff, that's the one where Richard is in the hospital and then Luke drives Lorelai there. I thought that was really sweet on many levels. Yeah. And then I didn't write this down, but I also really like Lorelai, I mean not Lorelai, Emily in Wonderland, where Emily comes over and she like spends a day in Stars Hollow. And I really like it because it's a good example of how like, you know, Emily and Lorelai always kind of are those people that take 2 steps forwards and then 1 step back. And, but other than that, it's just really funny to kind of see her kind of let loose a little bit. Anytime we go see Emily let loose is always a good time.
Yeah, totally. So Selena's going to pay attention next season and pick a favorite episode. As she's watching,
I'll try. I sort of feel like this might be totally wrong, but it feels like the character, like it's so like there aren't like really any monster of the week type episodes. Like it flows into it's very much a consistent narrative. So I think that's why it all blends like from one episode into another. And then at one point, like halfway through the season, they're like, "It's been a week," and I'm like, "How? Like we've had so many episodes, and you've only covered like 1 week." So, yeah, but I'll try to keep track.
I think going forward, there aren't like, you know, there's not like the monster of the week, like that kind of thing, but there are more of those weird Stars Hollow events. Like there are more episodes based around like specific weird things that are happening. And so they probably maybe stick in your brain a little more than the season 1 episodes do. which is why like the ones I chose were definitely things that kind of fit more into that theme.
Well, you can be sure that the episode in which Luke and Lorelai make out will be my favorite episode.
All right. Well, the season two finale, you've already told us. Yep. We know in advance. All right. Well, you've made up for your lack of favorite episodes with the favorite characters, but I'm going to make you choose one, like one favorite character.
Okay. It's easy. I'm going to choose Lorelai. She's amazing. I love Lorelai so much. Like, I feel like she validates all of my life choices. I mean, I don't have a 16. I'm not like a child mother. What's the word? But other than that, the way she speaks, the way she interacts with everyone, like how she's like so competent but also so clueless, I really like, I don't necessarily identify with her, but a lot of what she does and says is very familiar to me, and the way that she sort of is so unapologetic about like putting Rory first and stuff, it's like it reminds me like of my mother, and it reminds me of myself. And Lauren Graham just pulls it off so effortlessly, and I like, she's such a joy to watch, I think. So there, I project. Did I stun you guys, or did the thing cut out?
I'm still here.
Merima, are you back?
I think, did she go bye-bye?
I don't know. She like, she's like, she was my favorite character. I can't listen to this, and you're just like,
are you that? Sorry. I'm just having so many internet problems, you guys. I'm really sorry. Pam, did you do yours?
No, we were waiting to see when you would come back and join us. It's so hard for me to pick a favorite character, you guys. It's really, really, really hard. I guess I'll just pick something different for the sake of differences. But I think, yeah, I really, really like Suki, because I think that she plays off of everybody really well. And the other thing that's really endearing is how much she loves Rory and Lane. Like, she always calls them her little kittens and stuff like that. And she's just like so full of color. And every time she's like on screen, she kind of just steals the show, which is very much like Melissa McCarthy usually does in everything she's in. But it's just always really fun to watch her interact with everybody. I love Suki. She's amazing. If you have to go for favorite character, like the most interesting character is Emily, I think. But favorite character, I mean, Michelle is just the best. Like, I also love Suki. I probably would have said her, but like, Michelle has one of my favorite, like, there's one of my favorite Michelle lines of, I think, every season of Gilmore Girls ever, in this one where like the French people come and he pretends that he's not French in that episode. And he's like, and then Lorelai's finally like, no, you have to like go and speak French. And he's like, well, I'll be French, but I won't like it or something. And she's like, then you'll be yourself. And that's just like, it's just like one of my favorites. And I just love that episode. So why not throw some love to the minor characters? Yeah. I'm going to say Michelle. None of us said Rory. No. We'll see.
She's how she too goes. Good at this point. Like, she's too just pure. So young. It's just like I get, like, in a way I sort of really like, I think I was a lot the same way in the same age, so it's kind of hypocritical, but like, I just feel like she's too mousy and too nice, and like, she had that one rah moment, but other than that, she just tries to be nice to everyone, and that's good, but that she's not my favorite.
Yeah, true that. All right, well, before we jump into some listener feedback, is there anything that we didn't love about it that we want to talk about quickly?
I have one thing.
You have a thing.
Yeah, I have a thing. I
totally disagree.
Okay, well, I, you know, it's nothing that really matters to the story, but the thing, when you watch it all in very quick succession, this just bothers the hell out of me. I love the intro music. Like, I just want to say I love it so much, and I love the little, like, street performers they have walking around, but there is a certain piece of transition music that goes, like, I think it's, like, when they go from, like, a happy scene to, like, a walking shot. It's, like, it comes at the same time, and it comes, like, 3 times every episode, and it's, like, la, 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 something like that, and it's the same one every time, and it's, like, I just, that infuriated me by the end of the season, and I really hope it goes away, because it just reminds, it's kind of like canned laughter on sitcoms. It reminds me that I'm watching a show that has been edited and put together, and this music is trying to make, like, signify something to me, and I'm, like, defiantly don't want it to signify anything. And it's that, like, by the end of the season, I was so tired of that particular piece of music. Have you guys noticed that at all, or no?
I think it's just a thing that happens, but I don't, it doesn't, like, particularly bother me. I know what you're talking about, though.
I always notice these kinds of things, like, when they repeat music too often in TV shows or movies, I, like, start noticing it, and it starts bothering me.
I think it changes more from memory going into the next seasons. It's all by the same person. Like, the same musician does, like, scores the whole thing, and most of them are, like, I think... maybe in season one they do the same one over and over. I can't remember. I didn't watch them.
They do.
As closely as you do.
I can tell you.
I would trust you on that. But like the, I don't know her name, but the musician who does it like worked on the whole show, I'm pretty sure, and writes writes new little transitions for things. Like, it's not just one big song that's used over and over.
I really appreciate that. I think it's just for the first season they use that riff, that, like, la 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 bit, and it's just you can't use that, like, 5 times an episode. Like, it just, for me, it's like, argh. But I'm sure you can notice it if you watched it once a week, you know.
I think from memory it does shake up a little more going forward. Pam, was there anything you didn't love? That's very sacrilege to ask you. I know.
No, it's not. I feel like I'm just saying it to add to the conversation, but I feel like Rory is almost too nice sometimes. Like, with in the episode Paris is Burning, I get why she wants to show compassion to Paris, but it's almost like compassion, the way that she gave it, wasn't deserved, considering that Paris, you know, spilled the beans on her mom and Max's relationship, and just kind of, like, always makes her life a living hell. And then she's still, all she can do is, like, be nice. I guess she's, like, the ultimate pacifist, which is noble, but also, like, she's just, sometimes you kind of just want to see her blow up, like she does in that one episode where she misses the Shakespeare test because she's, like, so high strung. I feel like, like, obviously she's very young still in season one, but it's,
I kind of don't have anything. I feel bad because I was the one who said this. I guess maybe I really don't have anything. I don't know. I think probably, like, it's just the only thing that I noticed, like, overall about this, and it's not really a criticism. It's just, some of the characterizations seem a little, like, out of character when it's hard to watch it separate from knowing where all the characters end up. And watching it now, I just was conscious of the fact that they were still really trying to figure out what they were doing with a lot of the characters. And so that's why you get these kind of things seem a little choppy, and, you know, like, Dean's weird at the start, but then Dean's sweet. And then, you know, like, all of these things. And I kind of felt in a way that, that maybe, like, Rory was the person who suffered the most from that. Mm-hmm. Like, they sort of knew, like we talked about earlier, they knew, oh, well, you know, she's got a relationship with her mother, and she's working out her relationships with her grandparents, and she's got this boy, and she's got this school. But then apart from that, I don't know.
She's really, like, a reactionary to the characters around her at this point.
Yeah.
She's, like, the sane one around all the actual, like, characters. So she needs time to grow, definitely.
And I really like the deer hunter episode, because you get to see her, like, freak out for once, and
but that was, like,
not
so
be this,
early,
like,
on
little...
you know, so it was almost like, for me it almost came too soon. I was like, oh, I hardly know you and you're changing, and then she went back, like, reverted. So I was like, oh, I don't know, but it's tiny things.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, I think that's it for our kind of Gilmore Girls discussion.
I'm so glad you guys are forcing me to do this. Like, I really just have to, like, say again that this is just such an enjoyable experience. I'm so glad I can finally watch season two. This is, like, it's, like, such a happy place to go to. Like, I found myself just watching it all the time. Like, I was cooking food and I was having it on the background. And just, it's so nice. It's such a nice
image. That's so good to hear, because it would have been really disappointing if you didn't like it. Because, like, you know, Pam and I had kind of committed that you would.
Yeah.
Like, we had committed to ourselves that you would. And then if you were like, no, sorry, we would have been like, but what? So yeah, that's good to hear. All right. So we've got a little bit of feedback from you guys. Make sure to let us know what you think about season two, which will be our next special, over on Twitter at HyperbleHype, or email us hype@hyperble.com, or you can leave feedback on this podcast. I think probably because we have limited time to talk about the seasons, we're probably not going to get into too much like what you thought about season one, you know, next episode, if that makes sense, like if you want to respond to things we're talking about here. But definitely let us know in the comments, and like we can have a chat about it there and on Twitter, and then tell us your season two feedback for us to read next time. Does that make sense? That sounds like a good plan, because we have a lot to talk about, as you've probably gathered. Okay so we have a tweet from Amelia, who says, favorite part of the Gilmore Girls pilot. Well, we talked about this a little at the start. Selena can't remember it. I think my favorite bit is Lorelai going to ask for the money, and like you just kind of see it all hit her immediately, and seeing the house and like seeing the parents, and they seem really scary, and it's just set up really well. Yeah, and not like a fun bit, but definitely my favorite bit. Pam, what about you?
I think my favorite is that first scene when Lorelai walks into the diner and she wants coffee, and Luke is asking her like how many cups she's had, and it's like obviously way too many, but as a caffeine addict, it just like I understand, you know.
Yeah,
it's just like such a fun moment, and it really like all these little quirks that these characters have, they're so well set up in the pilot, and that's obviously like one of the big ones. So.
And Selena, can you remember any specific moments from the pilot?
No.
No. But
I do think that about the quotes, though, this is kind of funny, because when I was like putting together Pam's like partly DIY Secret Santa present, and I was making her a mug, I was looking for like Gilmore Girls coffee quotes, and I looked a lot of them, and most of them were actually in the pilot, so I didn't get too spoiled on her wanting like caffeine with my oxygen and whatever she said, so that's nice. And I even have, I'll tweet that to you, Pam, like my discarded mug, because I thought it was too ugly to send you, so I kept it for myself, and now it makes sense because I'm a fan.
Oh, and now we can have coffee together.
Yay.
Oh, that's fine, guys, I don't have to be included, don't worry about it.
Well, you don't like presents, you would just throw it out. You're like, oops, I dropped it.
Oh, I hate presents. They're the worst.
That's why you're the embodiment.
Someone send me a Gilmore Girls mug.
You know, I have a question for you, Merima. If they made Gilmore Girls Funkos, would you get some?
No. Not even a question I have to think about. It's like my favorite, it's one of my favorite shows, but no, like nothing could make me want a Funko. I just don't like them. Like, hello, Harry Potter has been like my favorite thing for like two thirds of my life at this point, and I still don't want that Funko on my shelf. Like, it's just not going to happen. But thank you for trying. I appreciate you like trying to trick me into this. Okay, we had some tweets from the Lady Ash, who's watching for the first time. Selena, did you want to read those?
Sure. The Lady Ash says, I'm celebrating Galentine's Day, Parks and Rec thing, with a Gilmore Girls marathon. P.S. Y'all ever watch Bunheads? I love that show. I don't even know what that is.
That was Amy Sherman-Palladino's show.
It's got Sutton Foster in it.
Yeah, I loved the show.
Oh.
Yes, Sutton Foster is like a queen. Actually, and this isn't a spoiler because she's not in Gilmore Girls, but like I saw that she'd been cast in the revival. And people are like, is she going to play a Bunheads character? But Kelly Bishop plays a different character in Bunheads. So I feel like that would be a weird crossover to have. because she would be like, oh, you look like my friend. Like, that would be super weird. Yeah, I love that show. So good.
Cool. And the Lady Ash also says, I just love how the cast of Gilmore Girls feels so natural. I believe in this little town. Hashtag first watch. Hashtag season one. So she's watching for the first time, too.
Yeah, I love that.
That's cool. That's so fun. And I totally agree. It just, you come into it and it's real. It's there. And I love that.
Awesome. And we also have an email. Pam, did you want to read that one?
Sure. This is from Anna, and she, or Anna, I'm not sure how you pronounce it. She says, hi, guys. I just want to take a moment and state how grateful I am that you guys at Hypeable Hype for doing a Gilmore Girls special. As a fan of your podcast, I really appreciate it. I actually discovered your podcast last year when there was news that the show was coming back. Ever since I listened to Hype number 70, Gilmore Girls Fangirls, I knew that I had found the podcast that caters to my pop culture cravings. Gilmore Girls, for me personally, is a show that does balance very well. From its incredible humor, quick wit, pop culture references, and relatable character moments, this is a show that is simply a must-see. I mean, what was so refreshing to me in season one was how the storylines based on various moments in life was effortlessly engaging to the viewer, considering how much explosions... Is that what you said? Explosions, plot twists, etc. that is needed in TV today to keep a viewer satisfied. If I had to pick a favorite episode from season one, I'm going to struggle because there are too many good ones. And she did send us a list, and I think we totally agree. But hopefully we talked about a couple of your favorite episodes during our discussion. And then Anna also says, the discussions at the Stars Hollow Town Hall meetings are hilarious, and the town festivals make me actually want to live in this picturesque town like Stars Hollow. Also, can you believe Sean Gunn's character was in episodes before playing other characters without names, before bringing the eccentric Kirk to life in episode 5. My favorite catchphrase from season one was, we appreciate your business, which is Mrs. Gunn. That's great.
I love that.
Yeah. Thank you very much for reading my thoughts on the Gilmore Girls season one, and I cannot wait to listen to the special podcast. Keep up the good work you guys do on Hype. Thank you so much for that email. That was really awesome. And we're so glad you found us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that you found us through Gilmore Girls. That's so fun.
Like it was,
I think that was when Pam and I like revealed our secret
true
of
colors.
Like yeah. All right, well, that's it for our season one Gilmore Girls Hype special. We don't have a release schedule for these per se. We're just kind of recording them when we can. Obviously Selena has to find time to watch all of the season.
Yes.
And although that didn't take you very long once you started.
No, it did not. It's very embarrassing how little time it took.
You actually watched it faster than anyone, I think. Yeah. We had a little more time.
But, you know, I had a week and I was watching it everywhere. Like, all the time. Just all day. Wow. It was awful. But also awesome.
No, it's fun. It's fun. So just make sure you keep an eye on our Twitter at HypeableHype, because we'll be letting you know when we're going to record, when we have a recording time for season two, to give you plenty of time to get in your feedback. But once you listen to this episode, that would be a good time to start watching season two, to make sure that you're like all up on it and let us know, you know, anything you'd like us to talk about, anything that jumped out at you. If you're watching for the first time, we would love to hear from you and your predictions. If you're doing a rewatch like Pam and I, let us know some of the things that, you know, maybe you didn't notice the first time around, because I think we've noticed quite a few things that we probably didn't pay so much attention to the first time around. And of course, we will be, as always, continuing with our regular Hype episodes every week with all of the latest news from hypeable.com. So if you haven't listened to Hype podcast before, make sure to check that out as well. Anything else we need to jump in here?
I don't think so. I'm excited for season two.
I'm excited for season two. I can't wait for that. To finale kiss. Oh, what's gonna happen?
Oh, now see, now I know it's not gonna happen, guys.
It might happen, who knows. Is that when I just try to remember when Lorelai runs away with Jackson and like ruins Suki's life? Is that
No, I think that's season four.
Oh, okay. That's after her and Rune have a shotgun wedding. Yeah,
it's after Rory becomes the chosen one.
Yes.
Yeah.
She goes on her quest to find the ring.
Right. Lorelai has some time to spare, so she gives Rune a call. All right, we'll leave you with that. We'll be back next time. Until then, I'm Marima.
I'm Pamela.
And I'm Selena.
And we are all Gilmore Girls fans. Yay, we can say that.
Yes, we can.
Peace out.